You know, we do it every Tuesday morning, even when a Tuesday feels like a Monday, and that means it's time right now.
Are you a member of the Turtle Club?
Turtle Boy Tuesday, every Tuesday morning, and welcome back, Turtle.
What's happening?
What's happening is something that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, and apparently this is becoming all the buzz. Let me take you back several months. Mm-hmm. You remember when the gorilla attacked the boy in the zoo? Well, didn't attack, but grabbed the boy.
Dragged him
off, to protect him, it's a matter of opinion. And the gorilla ended up being euthanized, and there was quite a to-do over that. And the gorilla's name was
Harambe.
So Harambe disappeared from popularity, as things do in the world of viral videos and social media stories. So now, all of a sudden, there is a renewed Harambe mania. Is this true?
Yes, particularly with the high school and college-aged crowd. Okay, right. Harambe has suddenly become hot again. And we have a lot of Harambe memes going around and Harambe jokes in general.
Is there any reason for this resurgence?
No, there's no explanation for it. Okay, it just happens sometimes with the internet. Don't ask questions, just accept it. Okay, and I'm with Harambe.
Right.
Harambe was innocent, free Harambe, that sort of stuff.
Right,
Harambe took a shot for you, take one for him, etc. So at UMass Amherst and in colleges everywhere, kids are writing Harambe jokes on their friends' dorm. People have whiteboards outside their dorm, and people are writing messages.
And they're just having fun.
Right.
All right.
Well, at UMass Amherst, which is an extremely SJW school.
Yeah, we know that.
They have these things called Defined Residential Communities, DRCs, in which kids from similar backgrounds, cultures, or identities live with each other, okay, and have shared experiences. In other words, it is a way for certain ethnicities and races of students to self-segregate themselves.
It's like, say, Chinatown in New York City. All right.
Except this is the exact opposite of everything Martin Luther King wanted. Whatever, though. Okay, so they got this. It just so happens that one of these DRCs is called Harambe. It's spelled differently with two E's, though.
All right, but it's the same. It's the same concept.
It's existed for several years. Okay,
all right.
And it's only for black students.
Okay.
So now that this Harambe thing has become a meme again, and everybody's joking about it constantly.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, you can't say Harambe anymore because they got a letter from an RA, an email from one of the RAs.
From resident assistant,
and they said that this can be considered hate speech. Okay, this is a microaggression. This is an attack on the African American community. You cannot say the word Harambe because this exists, et cetera.
All right, but now obviously the precedent has already been set by those who have accepted this term and are living in these communities within the school boundaries. But if you are outside of that group, it suddenly takes on a whole different meaning.
Right, because they say, you're mocking this group. But it's like, first of all, they're eulogizing a gorilla.
A gorilla,
From Cincinnati.
Right, right.
This is not a direct attack on anyone. And it's spelled differently, I'd like to point out. Okay. But more than anything, just the idea that these RAs, who have no power whatsoever in reality, think they can actually ban a word, named after a popular gorilla, simply because it's hurting someone's feelings, okay? And I'm sorry. If this hurts your feelings, then you're not emotionally mature enough to be in college. You're not really an adult. And back in the day, you used to tell these people, just suck it up, buttercup.
Well, college students do need their safe space,
Yeah, that's the problem. They think they get one from words like Harambe. And if you really wanted to tell them, you just tell them, shut up, okay? Here's a Coke and a smile and shut the,
Well, something I remember when I was going to college, which admittedly is a long time ago, there was no one in the dorm complexes that we ignored more than the RAs.
Absolutely. Well, they're bigger than the Constitution now, they think. They can actually ban words, that they think are hurting people's feelings. And they're using the word micro. Do you know what a microaggression is?
I know what a microburst is.
Yes. Well, a microaggression is something that seems harmless. You don't mean anything by it, but the person hearing it decides to take it offensively. Therefore, you can't say it anymore.
Well, then let me tell you right now that my life is merely a long progression of me staggering from one microaggression to another.
Oh, welcome to my world. Wow. When I first found out about that, I was like, oh, wow.
It's amazing how much trouble you can get into when you have no idea you're getting into it.
Oh, exactly. It's just typical of UMass Amherst. It's typical of the way colleges are. And I hope that these college kids double back. If you're in UMass Amherst right now, you listen to this, write it everywhere, Harambe, everything, because this is your constitutional right, and these people have no real authority. They're nobodies. You can do whatever you want.
Keep in mind, when they start pushing these things in your face, it's simply as long as you agree with them, then they're okay with it.
Yes.
But as soon as you stand up for your own portion of your rights, you're in trouble because they don't agree.
Yeah.
Interesting. 100 FM, The Pike. Worcester's classic hits, Creedence Clearwater Revival. A song all about privilege, not necessarily white privilege, just privilege in general. Mm-hmm. Creedence Clearwater Revival, it's about 8:35, but the reason I make such reference is because it's Turtle Boy Tuesday. We touch on the topics of the day. Sometimes they come from halfway across the country. Mm-hmm. Other times they're happening right here near home, mm-hmm. and I think that's what draws us now to the town of Cambridge, of course, right on the outskirts of Boston
right
proper.
Across the Charles River.
Where some of the more affluent people like to live.
Yeah.
And as I recall, an area that went very high in the news with our friend Professor Gates about a half a dozen years ago.
Randy Warren's from there.
Never going to forget the beer summit and so on. Yeah. And so now we've got a problem brewing, forgive the pun, in Cambridge, mm-hmm. all over Black Lives Matter, and more specifically, what it costs to live in Cambridge,
right.
correct?
So this is known as gentrification. It's basically when your city starts putting up Whole Foods everywhere and mm-hmm. white folks start moving in like crazy.
All right.
Okay. And
well, in the 50s and 60s, we called it suburban flight.
Right.
Well, now it's a whole different story because people are coming back into the city.
Right. And so, you know, it's obviously desirable land because it's right outside of Boston. It's on the river. It's nice there, et cetera.
Right.
And so, as a result of this, generally in economics, when there is a lot of demand for something, as there is for land in Cambridge, what's going to happen to price?
It's going to go up. The price goes up. Right? It's just like gasoline. You know, when there's higher demand, like Labor Day weekend, all the gas station prices go up.
So you got all these white people wanting to move there, and home values are going through the roof. Like, Elizabeth Warren owns a house in Cambridge. It's a nice house, but it's not like a mansion or anything if you looked at it, and it's worth $2.7 million.
Didn't John Kerry live in Cambridge?
Oh, who hasn't? I mean, it's like,
who hasn't?
You know, so, but here's the thing. As a result of this, it's becoming less and less diverse, which is something that Cambridge people really take a lot of pride in, is their diversity.
All right.
So, they're saying, Black Lives Matter has come up with a list of demands for the city of Cambridge,
right.
and one of those is to lower rent prices. Okay.
How is the city going to do that?
Well, keep in mind, most of these people are white that are doing these protests.
Oh, the protesters are
white.
All right.
And it's their parents. These are just trust fund lucky sperms, essentially.
All right.
And it's the parents.
You have such an artful way of putting things.
The parents out there, their parents who are working in Boston, making lots of money and driving up prices.
Of course.
Okay. And as a result, you know, people of color are being priced out of the community. So here's our solution for these people is that suppose you own like an $800,000 home, right, that you bought there?
In Cambridge.
Right. So sell it, find a black person that mm-hmm. doesn't live in Cambridge
right.
and sell it to them.
Who wants to live there, sell
right.
it to them for
whatever price they can afford.
For half the price.
Right. Let's say it's $300,000, right?
All right.
You will take a $500,000 loss. However, you will have fixed diversity. Okay, which is ultimately your goal, right? I mean, that's what this is all about, make it more diverse. Oh, that's right. They'd never actually do that because they're just full of crap, okay?
Well,
they're not willing to sacrifice anything themselves.
Maybe more specifically, they want to see the situation righted. They just don't want to do it on their dime.
Right. Like, somebody else should fix racism and, you know, take one for the team. Not me, though. It's like all these people that want colleges. Like, there's not enough, you know, people of color in these colleges. Well, you go to that college, so why don't you give up your seat in class to a black person that didn't get into the school? How about that?
Is this a not my backyard crowd?
Yeah, I mean, basically, that's what these people are. We call them limousine liberals. I mean, they're the people that, you know, they talk a big game when it comes to fixing racism, but they don't really do much to fix it.
Interesting. Yeah. So Cambridge is struggling under this poll right now, and we'll just have to wait and see if somebody decides to step forward and make it all right.
Look who the hero is on a national level right now. Our boy Colin Kaepernick. Right. I mean, that's the guy out there, you know, leading the charge with all this. And I thought about this kind of on the way in. It's like Colin Kaepernick was in the Super Bowl 4 years ago. Right.
Right.
How come he didn't say anything about cops killing black people back then.
What, when he had the biggest platform there was?
He's saying it now as a backup quarterback when no one cares what he's doing and no one even notices.
So in other words, he's trying to make himself relevant again.
Right. It's like, I'm sorry, did cops just become racist? Because I'm what date did they start getting racist? Was it 2014?
He just noticed, that's all.
Yeah, it's like, but Colin Kaepernick could have said something back then. He chose not to, and now he's saying it from the bench. And by the way, he lost his starting job this week. He did make the team, which is disgusting, by the way, that any team could actually employ this person. And stop telling me it's free speech. There's no such thing as free speech in the private sector at your job.
That's very true.
It protects you is from government suppression of speech. The NFL has the ability to stop them.
Boy, do we ever know that in the radio business. Fair enough. Well, as the man with the socks with the little pigs and the police hats on them gets set to take another week of headlines, we see Turtle Boy Tuesday. It's Tuesday morning, 8:40 right now on the Pike. 100 FM, The Pike, Worcester's classic hits. That's Bon Jovi at 8:52, Tuesday morning, drizzly, and that's getting in the way for some folks on the way back into work after a three-day weekend. Back to work, back to school, isn't our first full week of school yet since we had a holiday yesterday, but school is really kind of starting to get a little traction. Something we were talking about, actually, Turtle Boy, it's Turtle Boy Tuesday, of course, the turtle is here. Turtle, we were talking last week during the first week of classes about how there is a lot of consternation right now in Warwick is down in Rhode Island, in Worcester Public Schools, about what's going on with cell phones in class.
Mm-hmm.
New policy in place in all Worcester schools as of this year, which is very specifically laying out what you can and can't do with your cell phone. And quite frankly, the kids are pretty unhappy.
Yeah, they're complaining about it, which I think is hilarious. Their tears taste delicious.
All right, well, okay, let's not get too bitter here. But now, so we start out with this. What exactly is the new policy dictating in Worcester schools?
No cell phones, essentially. Like, cell phones have to be in lockers. They cannot be on your person. You cannot. Some schools have allowed texting during lunch, you know, and stuff like that. And they're just saying, you know, I don't know what the punishment is going to be, but they're not allowed anymore. And kids are saying it's not fair. Hilarious stuff like that, but too bad.
All right, well, now, I know that the turtle has some close to connections to some area teachers, so therefore has the inside line. How are the teachers seeing this working out in the school?
A lot of teachers will tell you that this is a battle that cannot be won, that this is like you can't fight this battle. Kids are going to have cell phones on them, and it's the hardest battle to fight because as a teacher, you got to pick your battles just like any other job.
Understood.
Okay? And it's like, is this really the battle you want to fight? However, they are a huge distraction for teachers because you can imagine if somebody's up there trying to teach kids calculus, and keep in mind, the teacher is evaluated on how the students do in their class.
Of course, as it should be.
Oh, please, give me a break. You know, it's ridiculous to say that. But anyway, if a kid's not paying attention or if a kid just doesn't care, okay, now you're in trouble for it. And so kids can be on their phones and you're trying to teach them calculus or whatever, and they can't focus because they're doing this. And so you tell them to put it away, but then they take it out again. So there needs to be a punishment for this.
Is there no established punishment for this crime yet?
I'm pretty sure the Worcester Public Schools are coming up with policies where, you know, you're maybe first time's a warning, second time's detention, third time's a suspension. I don't know.
All right. Okay. Well, then in the turtle's view, what would the more appropriate punishment be?
Very simple.
What would solve this situation?
You bring it to the office if you get caught with
the cell phone.
Yep. And mom and dad gets called, and they got to come pick it up because mom and dad are the ones that are buying the cell phones for Junior, okay?
Probably true.
And if mom and dad are inconvenienced by it, well, then mom and dad are going to think twice about giving Junior a cell phone.
So that's when things start to happen.
Right. I mean, then you just call the parents. It fixes everything 99% of the time, all right, a lot of the time.
And then, of course, there's the argument, well, what if there's an emergency? And then you go back to the way things were when I was in school,
exactly.
Which is they call the office and you're contacted. It's not
that
hard.
There's protocol for this.
It
can be done, et cetera. So it's just hilarious watching these kids say that, you know, this is unfair and what am I going to do? It's like, well, how do people survive before that? And here's a big thing. To me, there's a couple of big issues with cell phones. Number one, it's a privacy issue. We had a kid from Oxford High School last year tape his teacher. And a teacher was like...
Unbeknownst
to the teacher. And the teacher was being very strict with the kids.
All right.
And he sounded like an awesome teacher, my kind of guy.
All right.
And the kid sends it to us and says, like, get him fired. Okay.
Was there a reason that this kid wanted the teacher fired?
No, in the kid's mind, the teacher was being mean. Okay. Well, and instead of doing that, we just basically destroyed the kid instead of destroying the teacher.
Well, if teachers were fired for being mean, I don't think there would have been any teachers in the school I went to.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to be mean sometimes to get the point across.
Imagine a teacher taped the kids. Okay, that would be such a privacy violation.
Oh, my goodness.
You cannot tape a teacher. I mean, there's privacy laws enacted in schools in the first place.
Well, here's the news flash. First of all, privacy laws go both ways. Mm-hmm. And there are way too many people that think, well, they only apply to my side of the discussion. No, they apply to both. And teachers have every right to their privacy as well as students do.
Yes. And, you know, kids can also take pictures of tests, post them on social media so all their friends can see them. Like if you have a test first period and, you know, science, you take a picture of the test, you post it on Twitter, everyone else can see it. There's a million things you can do with cell phones. You just can't have them. No cell phones, period. Unless the teacher wants to use them for educational purposes, because kids have to learn that these things are in my hand right now, holding a cell phone,
it's a tool.
Right. These are not just stupid things for you to write stupid hashtags and nobody cares about and write about Harambe.
Help you learn to be better, smarter, and accomplish things.
I have Encyclopedia Britannica on steroids in my hand, okay? And kids don't know that for some reason, that they can answer any question. And that's what ultimately, because you're going to forget most of the stuff you learn in school, right? I mean, that's just how it works.
I already did.
But you won't forget how to learn it. And if you can learn, they're like, hey, this thing in my hand, this is a pretty cool tool I can use to answer any question I have. That's the most valuable thing I think you can get out of school.
Far more effective and productive in your future life than simply knowing that a colon and a parenthesis will make a smiley face. And so far, that's the best I've come up with from social media. Sorry about that. Well, it is Turtle Boy Tuesday every Tuesday morning here at the Pike. And whether it's across the country or right here in town, we keep an eye on what's going on. Of course, you can find Turtle Boy online. It's turtleboysports.com. And in a matter of minutes, Turtle Boy should be back on Facebook again. So we're looking
right
forward to
2 or 3 o'clock. We are free.
The grand return on social media. Thank you for joining us as always, Turtle Boy.